Hello and welcome to Inside Selling. I'm Liston Witherell, partner at Sales DNA, where we help inside sales teams get more meetings and close more business without feeling salesy, manipulative, or gross. Today, I'm honored to have Greg Reffner, the director of sales over at Allbound. And Greg will be talking especially about how he uses coaching to improve the performance of his sales team. Before I get to that, I do want to invite you to check out our articles about inside sales at blog.salesdna.co or online training at courses.salesdna.co. If you use the code podcast at checkout, you can get 30% off any course you see on the site. And I would welcome you to go over there as a podcast listener. You get this exclusive discount. And in the event you'd like custom training or an audit of your B2B sales process, head over to our website, click contact. We'd love to start a conversation with you. And now, without any further delay, my conversation with Greg Reffner. I'm here with Greg Reffner from Allbound. Greg, welcome to the Inside Selling Podcast.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here, Liston.
I'm really excited to have you. Now, I found you in a little bit of a sneaky way. I saw you on a website for a coaching tool, a call coaching tool, and I saw that it had helped your organization quite a bit. So I was wondering if you can talk a little bit about why coaching is so important in your job.
Yeah, so I think one of the lessons that I learned, Liston, when I first started in sales was that, one of my kind of key mentors taught me to focus on behaviors, focus on mindset, focus on driving more intelligence in a continued environment of continued learning. And so I think of coaching as a way to kind of shift focus within my team away from just focusing on like the metrics of how many calls did you do today? What's your different KPIs for activity? How many self-sourced meetings did you book? I really think of coaching as an opportunity to not only just improve my team's performance at work, but also really get them thinking much bigger and helping them prepare for life outside of Allbound and life outside of technology sales. So coaching to me is really just a focus, a mind shift away from the metrics that people typically focus on in an inside sales environment and more towards let's become intrinsically curious and motivated to help our prospects, to gain their trust. And coaching to me is like that all-encompassing idea of how we pull all that together.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You said something that caught my interest, which is that you want to prepare for people outside of life, after Allbound, long after Greg Reffner, and you know when they go on to the next thing. And you also said something about creating intrinsic curiosity, which is a really cool idea. How are you able to do that, and why do you think it's your responsibility to make people better people, not just better salespeople?
I think so. Something my dad always taught me was the definition of a leader, and I know it's pretty cliche, but a definition of a leader is not, did you hit your goals? Were you personally successful? It's how many leaders did you help create? So I want my team, if I look at a couple of members on my team, I see them being directors and VPs of sales within the next 3 to 5 years. And to me, knowing I had an impact on that gets me up every single day. That's what motivates me to make sure that, yeah, they succeed here at Allbound, but then they go out and they're successful in their next venture. And that's kind of why coaching is so important, making sure they understand that there's different aspects to success outside of just, hey, how many calls did you make today? And really, one of the key things that I completely just pound into my team's head is be intrinsically curious about everything in life. Always be learning. And that has helped us from a coaching perspective because it goes back to ask more questions. Ask, don't tell. help your prospects paint a picture in their mind as to what you're trying to show them. And we do that by being curious about their problems, curious about their life, curious about their goals and their ambitions outside of the day-to-day activities that are impacting their job. And so the more curious we are, the more likely we are to ask questions to gain understanding, which helps us get deeper and deeper into that prospect's pain, getting us closer and closer tied to kind of the solution that we're able to provide for them.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, one thing that you said that I really like is not focusing on metrics. I've been reading up on all of the books written by or featuring John Wooden, the basketball coach. And he talks a lot about, you know, he said, we never focused on winning. It was all about making today our masterpiece, working as hard as we could in practice, and then we knew that the games would take care of themselves. Sometimes we would win, sometimes we would lose, right? It had to do with luck and the quality of the other team and, you know, did everybody get their sleep the night before and all these other factors, he said, that I really couldn't control. But I knew if we did the right things in practice, people would show up and we'd have the best chance to win. And so he focused there instead of on the result that he was after.
Love it.
Yeah, I love that too. So let's go back to coaching. How often do you do one-on-one coaching sessions?
Sorry, I thought there was a little bit more to that question there. Typically what we do, we have a couple different coaching sessions, one-on-one, once or twice a week, depending upon time availability during that week with each member of the team, where I ask them to bring to the table a really good call, one that they're super proud of and they're super happy with, and then a really bad call, a call where they completely blew it. They feel like they did not engage with the prospect, whatever that might be. And so we call it the trust tree, where if we bring that bad call to the table, that we recognize it's not punitive in any way, but it's simply to help understand what was the sales rep's mindset. Were they preoccupied with other thoughts that were distracting them from engaging in that prospect? Was it they weren't reading the prospect's tone of voice or body language if we had video? Were they not paying attention to those factors that maybe led them to misread that prospect and not meet them at the level they needed to be met at? So we do that type of coaching one-on-one, once or twice a week if time permits. And then we also do a workshop Wednesday as well with the entire team, where each week a member of the team is asked to present on a topic that is of interest to them. So one week it might be a topic called lateral thinking, was a topic a couple weeks ago. And then we might do how to use memes in email communication, or we might do something around video in outbound cold prospecting. We've also done how to read a LinkedIn profile to understand the buyer, the prospect persogenics, right? Can we pick up on, are they expressive? Are they dominant? Are they analytical? Are they amiable? All from their LinkedIn profile. So every single week, a new member of the team will present on a topic that they want to present on. And then we take away action items for the following week to make sure that not only what we learned in that workshop Wednesday kind of sticks, right? So take away a couple different action items that we're going to focus on that week. And then we report at the beginning of the next workshop Wednesday on how we felt we did on that. So kind of like a group setting, workshop Wednesday, as well as a weekly, sometimes if we can, twice a week, one-on-one coaching session with each member of the team.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And just from a kind of logistical standpoint, do your reps tag the calls as they go so they know what to bring you in that session?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I put it all on them. I really place the onus and the responsibility on them to take care of that. I don't want to micromanage them. I think it's important they understand the importance of owning those things.
So one thing I wanted to pass along to you talked about going onto LinkedIn profiles and understanding the personality of the person. I think that's really smart. There's a tool called Crystal Nose. Are you familiar with this?
I am not. Crystal Nose.
Yeah. So what it does is it reads either emails, LinkedIn profiles, whatever text it can, and it comes up with a guess as to what their DISC profile is, if you're familiar with DISC. D-I-S-C.
Yeah. This is awesome.
So it is amazing. The one thing I'll tell you is if you look at the stats for the normal distribution of DISC personalities, it's something like 10 to 20% are a D personality, a driver personality, which would be like a CEO type, someone who's very driven, who's very blunt and forward in their communication. Someone like me, really. And what I find using Crystal is it has a very disproportionate guess that people are a D personality. And my guess for that is that people just don't spend a lot of time on their LinkedIn profile. So just keep that in mind. I think you'll start to see patterns that say, I don't know if this is totally accurate, but I think there is some things you can glean off of LinkedIn still that are very useful.
That's awesome. I'll definitely check it out and see if it's consistent, because we have a pretty wide variety of personalities on the team here.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it's consistent with the DISC profiles that we all take actually when we start. Well, so that's interesting.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you've already tested your team with DISC.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we'll see if it's consistent with it.
Yeah, it helps communication for sure to kind of understand who you are and how you would interface with other people.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. So take me into one of these one-on-one coaching sessions. How do you run it and kind of what's the thought process behind that?
Yeah. So start every single one of those with, you know, this is not punitive. Okay. We are going to find ways to make you better by reviewing your calls. And so typically what we'll do is I ask for like an elevator synopsis pitch of why the good call was good. And then instead of looking at, you know, I like we use Gong internally for our call recording, and I like the talk time to listen time ratio. But outside of that, I don't really look at too many metrics. You know, I look for, you know, were you able to connect with rapport? Do you feel like you established rapport? Do you feel like you established trust? And we kind of get those basic questions out of the way, and then we'll dive into the call. And so we start looking at lines of questioning. That's really where I want to see that intrinsic kind of curiosity come out. So what types of questions are we asking? What types of responses are those questions getting? And if it's a yes, no, very short types of questions, we'll pause whatever call we're listening to. And we'll dive into, okay, what types of questions could we have asked for a better response? If we're happy with the response we got, great. What's a second, a third, a fourth level line of questioning that we could have taken to find out even more? So what's that pain? Great, we know the pain. What's that causing you? Great. What's that cause? How's that cause impacting your home life? Okay, your home life, what kind of pain is that causing you? So how deep can we get to really the driver and the why personally of our prospect for that pain they're experiencing at work? And so we really try to take those coaching sessions, the good calls and the bad calls, focus on the lines of questioning, and then figure out, you know, did we get to the true root cause of the pain that that is being kind of felt? And then ultimately how that's impacting that person we're talking to personally as well as professionally. So that's really the focus in these one-on-one coaching sessions, is on the lines of questioning and then figuring out professionally and personally what that pain is causing that person we're talking to.
Interesting. And is that something you infer? Because I know, I mean, you know, like I do, when you're in a sales situation, it's not always appropriate to drill on that stuff because some people just don't want to talk about it. So is that something you try to figure out on your own during the coaching session? Or do you try to find more direct ways of getting to that personal pain?
So we push pretty direct, and will admit that it's uncomfortable sometimes during those calls. We are met with resistance. Obviously, prospects don't want to talk about the fact that they may be having to stay 2 hours late every day after work because of a manual process they really have no way to automate right now. And those 2 hours are causing them to miss soccer practice. And causing them to miss soccer practice, there's tension at their family, right? So we push pretty hard, but ultimately, I don't know if you've heard of Simon Sinek and Start With Why.
Yeah.
So ultimately, like, we need to tap into an emotional response to drive a buying behavior. And people buy with emotion. If we can use that and help them remember the pain associated with something that we can fix, our chances of winning that deal go through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we've seen a lot of our success in our conversion rates is because we're not afraid to take it to that almost uncomfortable personal level with our prospects, helping them really understand. You know, they may think that, oh, this is only causing me to stay 2 hours late every single day at work. Great. Let's take that a little bit further. What's that really costing you? And that pain associated at the end of that line of questioning usually helps us win that deal pretty damn fast.
So in that scenario you're giving, there's kind of the mindset, right, of being focused on the idea that you and your team can help solve really deeply painful personal and professional problems for your prospects. On the other side of it, there's a skill to kind of getting that out and understanding how can I do that in a way that's not too off-putting, that still remains professional on my sales calls. So when you're coaching, how much do you emphasize skills versus mindset, and kind of how do you work that balance?
That's a good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. I think mindset is everything in life. How you approach things is everything. The attitude you carry into every scenario. And going back to, are we coming into sales calls because we want the commission check at the end of that call? Or are we coming in because we are really deeply passionate and curious about the pains associated with our prospects? And if we lead with the latter of those two, being passionate and curious about our prospects, I think, and this is just intuition, that our prospects and our buyers can feel that true compassion and passion we have for them. So mindset is super important, and helping my team really focus on that. And then that commission check is almost like an end result of the mindset that we're working on carrying into every single interaction. So mindset is something we focus on a lot. The skills, the lines of questioning, those really come with time and as the team gets comfortable and confident being uncomfortable. So one of the things that I learned a hard lesson on was, you know, be comfortable being uncomfortable on sales calls. Being uncomfortable is where you grow. Being uncomfortable is where you really try to find out some of your best information. So things like awkward silence, you know, if we do ask that hard, deep, personal question, having the power and the wherewithal to hit the mute button on the phone and just let that question kind of percolate with that prospect. So some of those skills and training the team to be a little bit more comfortable in those uncomfortable situations is important. But having the right mindset going into the call is probably the most important part.
Excellent. Well, Greg, I know you've been doing this for a while, but what is it that you wish you knew about sales coaching before you started and had to start to produce results for your team?
What do I wish I would have known a handful of years ago? I wish I would have known that it's okay to be a little uncomfortable and stressed. I think I've almost grown to appreciate the stress and the uncomfortableness of sales. And I really was super high strung when I first started and stressed out of my mind. Probably shaved 10 years off my life. But I wish I would have known it's okay to be stressed. It's okay to be a little uncomfortable, because that's going to force you to be a better version of who you are, to overcome that stress and overcome that kind of sense of uncomfortableness. So I wish I would have known that 4 or 5 years ago. And it's kind of what I always tell guys on my team, like, look, I know you're stressed, embrace it. It's part of this. You guys want this. You want the rewards that come as a result of your hard work. You got to learn to embrace the stress.
Excellent. I think that's really good advice. And I think a lot of us forget that, it's okay to have feelings, and it's okay to react to your environment, and that's going to come with it. So yeah. I really appreciate your candor there. Greg, thank you so much for being here. I have a feeling that a lot of people took a ton of information out of this, things that they can action. If they wanted to get a hold of you, what would be the best way to reach out and contact you?
Yeah, LinkedIn's great. Feel free to drop me an email, greffner@allbound.com. LinkedIn, email, best way to probably get a hold of me. I would love to chat. I'm always happy to share my experiences, and hopefully people can take away some words of wisdom to take action on. Hopefully make someone's life a little bit easier.
I'm sure it has. Thank you so much for being here today.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Liston.